It's good to have a new year. A couple announcements real quick. No breakfast today. Normally the first Sunday of the month, we do a breakfast at 9:30. But this, because it's holiday, we're going to do it next Sunday instead. So I hope you'll join us for that. XYZers stands for extra years of zest. If you're old, that's basically, it's a nice way of saying it. If you're old, you're meeting on January 15th. And then small group leaders are getting together on January 29th. So mark your calendars if you're a small group leader or if you're interested in joining us and being a small group leader. January 29th, we'll be getting together. Just mark your calendars. It'll probably be about 1 o'clock, I'm guessing. And then annual meeting date, which you'll see in the program, the bulletin, whatever, if you got one when you came in, says February 12th for the annual meeting. And then Waylon found out that that's Super Bowl Sunday and nobody's coming. So skip that. Cross it off your bulletin. We're not doing it on February 12th unless we could talk to the NFL and convince them to change their date. I doubt that's going to happen. So there'll be a date announced later. If he picks Daytona 500, I won't be there. Just saying, right up front. All right. Well, today is the first day of a whole new year. And as we look back over the last 12 months, and as we look forward to the next 12 months, I don't know about you, but I want to have God's perspective on all of these things. And many times, I never make a big deal out of a new year. It's like, whatever, it's another day. But try as you might, you just can't ignore the fact that there is another tick on the odometer. And here we are at 2023. So I think it's good for us every so often to just stop and talk about time and talk about new beginnings. It's just a wonderful time, I think, to do that this time of year. So I just want to do that this morning, take a break from kind of the regular routine and talk about that. So Philippians chapter 3 is a passage where I want to go. Philippians chapter 3, and the question as you think about this passage is, what do you anticipate this year to look like? Are you full of enthusiasm as you look forward to the coming 12 months, or are you filled with dread and worried that 2023 will be worse than the previous 12 months? I saw a deal where Nostradamus had predicted back in the 1500s. You've heard of Nostradamus, right? He did these famous predictions of world events, and he predicts 2023 as being a horrible year. Wars and famines and all kinds of things, but I don't take a whole lot of stock in Nostradamus because a couple of times he's gotten it pretty spot on, but 90% of the time he's been way off. But whatever happens is gonna happen, right? So the question is, what's going to be our perspective on it and how we'll respond? And how do we, as we sit here right now, how do we think about what tomorrow brings? And that's what I love about what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. Because in this passage, he talks about the past, he talks about the present, and he talks about the future. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So Philippians 3, 12 to 14 says this. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. I feel the need to just stop there for a moment and talk about what he's been talking about here for a while. As he gets to verse 12 here, he's been talking about, where do we get righteousness from? Now, what does he mean by that? What he means by that is, how can we get rid of sin in our life and be made right with God? Where does righteousness come from? And for many people, they are striving for righteousness. They're working really hard to be righteous. And as you enter 2023, there might be a temptation for you to have set some goals. And here we are. We're 9 hours into the new year, and you may have already blown it. Well, then what? How can we be made right? That's what his question is. And he's been addressing this by talking about what he's done in the past to be made right. He was working really hard. He was super religious. He was more religious than most. He followed the rules, but he still came up short. So he's saying, which is an amazing thing. It should be super encouraging to every person who reads Philippians 3:12 to realize that Paul the Apostle said he wasn't perfect. So that should take some pressure off of all of us, right? If Paul wasn't perfect, and I'm pretty sure he's in with God, if he wasn't perfect, well, maybe there's hope for you and me, and there is. He says, I haven't reached it. I haven't gotten this, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Jesus possessed him in order to make him perfect. And Paul says, that's what I'm pushing for. Not that I'm going to achieve it, but I'm pushing for Jesus has given it to me. Verse 13, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, 2023. Looking forward. Verse 14, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. What would that be? Perfection, for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Well, there's a few takeaways from this passage I just want to share with you this morning. These are my takeaways. You might have some other ones, but let me just share with you some of the things that I see in this passage. Number one, I think, is to recognize the value of time. Because that's what Paul talks about here. He's talking about the past. He's talking about the present. Here's what I do. And he's talking about the future. What I do now is I press on for what God has for me coming up in the future. So recognizing the value of time. I'm pretty sure God doesn't wear a wristwatch and doesn't hang a calendar on the wall. The Bible says that with God, one day is like 1,000 years of our time. And 1,000 years of our time is like one day for God. Which means that from God's perspective, Jesus died on the cross on Friday, just 2 days ago. From God's perspective. Right? Time is important to us, though. We measure segments of time. We think in terms of a lifespan as beginning with infancy and then going on to childhood and then pre-adolescence and adolescence and adulthood and middle age and old age and then whatever comes after old age. Supply and demand help determine something's value. If you are a salesman and you're trying to sell a product and you have massive quantities of that product sitting in your warehouse, the value of them is very minimal. If, however, there's not much in the warehouse and there's lots of people that want what you have in the warehouse, the value goes up. Because when you have little bit but a lot of demand for it, the value goes up. When you're young, you have lots of time in the warehouse. And time doesn't seem to really matter much. But when you get old, you start to realize, my goodness, time is a valuable commodity. It flies by so quickly. We all just spent, or many of us, just spent time with family. How many more of those times do you think you'll have where everybody that was just there at the table is going to be there at the table? How many more times? 10, 20, 30, 1, none, who knows? The longer that you live, the more you start to see, wow, these are rare, beautiful opportunities. Time becomes valuable. The Bible often speaks about how quickly time goes by. I want to just share a few verses with you about it. In Job chapter 7, verse 6, Job says, my days fly faster than a weaver's shuttle. I wanted to show you a video, but I just couldn't find one that I thought was very good enough to show this morning. But a weaver's shuttle that just, when they tap it like this and it goes through the strings, and it goes back, and they just back and forth, and they tap it down like this and back and forth. And Job says, my days are flying by, just zoom, shoom, shoom, faster than a weaver's shuttle. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 15 says, our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace. Psalm 103, verse 15 and 16, our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers, we bloom and die. The wind blows and we're gone, as though we had never been here. No wonder, because of the brevity of life, and how in the grand scheme of things, our lives are just a blip on a radar. No wonder the psalmist asked this question in Psalm chapter 8. Look at Psalm 8 verses 3 and 4. When I look at the night sky I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? God, we're just so insignificant in the grand scheme of eternity. Well, statisticians will tell us that the average lifespan is around 75 years. 75. And I came across some interesting information about our use of time. I thought I would share it with you this morning. Sometimes you wonder, where does our day go? Well, here's what statistics would say. And I came across this a number of years ago and had to do some updating because of recent technology changes. But somebody went through the trouble to research what people do with their time, and they come up with these results. Most of us will have spent 2 to 3 years in education total. Now, 2 to 3 years meaning if you were to add up the total numbers of hours you were sitting in a classroom, and then you take that number of hours and you multiply it throughout the years that you spend in school and condense it to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you would have spent 2 to 3 years nonstop in school. We spent about 7 years of our life eating. Some more, some less. We'll spend about 14 years working. We spend 5 years riding in automobiles. We spend another 5 years talking to other people. Again, some more and some less. We'll have spent about 1 year being sick or recovering from sickness. And get this, we'll have spent 24 years of our life sleeping. 24 years sleeping. We've spent 3 years reading books and 12 years amusing ourselves with television, going to the movies, football games, fishing, whatever kind of entertainment kind of things. 11 of those 12 years of your life will be spent on your cell phone. 11. The average person spends 3 hours and 15 minutes on their phone every single day. Isn't that nuts? I think it's nuts. Well, as I looked at these statistics, I began thinking to myself, let's suppose you spent every Sunday of your life for 75 years from infancy until you die at 75. If you spent all of every single Sunday, you went to church for 1 hour, you would have spent, well, how much time do you think you would have spent in your lifetime if you went to church 1 hour every Sunday for 75 years? If you add it all up, it comes out to, drum roll, less than 5.5 months. But let's double that. Let's say you're a hardcore, and you don't just go to Sunday morning. You're in a small group or a Bible study, so you double that. Well, now you're barely at 11 months of your life spent in worship or Bible study, if that's all you did, was just Sunday mornings and midweek, whatever your study would be. 11 months. Think about it. 5 years in a car, 11 months studying God's word. 12 years in front of a TV, or 11 of those years in front of your phone, and 11 months in church and Bible study. And that's if you always attended and you never missed. That tells us a little bit about the brevity of time and the use of our time. It tells us something about the priorities in life. And when we talk about understanding the value of time, that's what it's all about, is what are the priorities? Because time is a precious commodity. What are you investing your time in? That's a wonderful thing to stop and ponder this time of year as you face 2023 and as you're thinking about maybe setting some goals and priorities for the year to come. The Bible obviously makes it clear life is uncertain. And so because of that uncertainty, time becomes such a valuable commodity, and our use of it is absolutely critical. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, the writer of Hebrews says, remember what it says, God's word says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. Because life is uncertain, take advantage of the moments God gives you to invest in your relationship with him and to put your trust in him and to spend time developing your relationship with him. Okay, so that's one thing, understanding the value of time. Another thing that I see from the passage that Paul shares in Philippians 3 is you don't have to be enslaved to the past. You know, God allows us to remember the past, and the enemy will want to use your memories to make you a slave to the past. God wants you to use your memories to honor him, to thank him for the good things, and to learn from the things where you failed and where you blew it. God's not bringing things to your mind to help you remember your failures so that you can dwell on them and lie in self-pity and misery. He brings these things to mind, allowing us to learn from them. One of the things that Paul shows us in this passage is you don't have to be enslaved to your past. Paul says, I forget it. I forget the past. God has given us the ability to remember, and your memory could be your friend or your enemy. When you remember, hopefully you remember some very pleasant things about 2022. Now, there's going to be some unpleasant things about 2022. Some of those unpleasant things you're going to remember are the things you've done that you wish you wouldn't have done. Well, what do you do about that? Well, what you do about that is you do what Paul did. You forget the past, and you move on. Sometimes it's easy to dwell on the negative and begin feeling sorry for ourselves. And maybe this last year was a time of big transitions in your life, which can be critical moments. Maybe the kids grew up or left home, got married, whatever it might be. Maybe you're trying to deal with the empty nest syndrome. Maybe your job came to an end and you're having trouble making ends meet. Maybe a loved one died. You're trying to deal with this grief and loneliness that you feel, whatever it might be. Maybe it was a time when sin got a hold of your life, and now you feel the burden and the guilt and the weight of that. These kind of things can cripple us and hold us in slavery to the past. And that's why Paul said, I forget what lies behind. Paul had a lot of things that were behind him. If you know anything about Paul, you know he had a very shaky past. And if you believe what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said he was the worst sinner that ever lived or ever would live. He was the worst. You thought you were bad, and you are. But Paul was worse. Paul had a very shaky past. He persecuted the church. He hated the church so much he used his authority to track Christians down and have them killed or put in prison. By his own admission, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. He could have walked around the rest of his life living with shame and regret and allowed that to cripple him about what a loser he was before he came to Jesus. But if he would have lived in that kind of misery, he would never would have been able to be used in the way that God used him. He would have never become the great apostle that we know and love today. Paul said, I forget what's behind. In other words, God, I commit it to you. It's yours. I give it to you. I seek your forgiveness for the sins, your healing for the pain, and I move forward to what lies ahead. And right now, I'm just going to live the best that I can. What have you done that you wish you could forget? Well, Paul's done worse, and I think forgetting what's behind is good advice for all of us on this new year. Here's the third thing, is to make priorities as we face the future. Again, because time is so precious, learning how to make priorities and keeping those priorities is really important. Paul said it this way, this one thing I do. It's one thing. Here's my priority. Now, obviously, Paul did a lot of other things, right? He made tents. He was a tent maker. He preached sermons. He established churches. He healed the sick. He did the pastor stuff. He wrote books. He did a lot of things. But he says, my top priority in my life is this one thing, to press on toward the goal, the upward call. It's always upward, by the way. God's always calling us up, up, up. Not dragged down, not sit there in misery. God's constant call to us is up, up, up. Press on for the prize for which God has gotten a hold of me. He's going to give me perfection. He's calling me up to it. A while back, there was a expert on time management. Goes around the country and gives these conferences on how to spend your time and how to prioritize your time. And I heard this illustration a number of years ago, and I really like it. He was speaking to a bunch of business students, and after talking to them for a while about making certain things a priority in their life, he said, I got an illustration for you. And he set a big 1-gallon jar, a glass jar on the table in front of them, and he came out with a bunch of fist-sized rocks, and he stuck them in the glass jar, and he said, is it full? And they all looked at him and said, yeah, it's full. You can't fit any more in there. And then he got out some pea gravel, and he shook it on top. He began shaking it down. He said, is it full? And they go, yeah, you can't put any more pea gravel in there. And then he got out some sand. He started dumping in on it, shaking the sand, and kept adding more sand. Is it full? Well, you're not getting any more sand in there. Then he got out water, and he started pouring water in it until it came all the way to the top, and finally it was full. And he says, okay, now what's the point of the lesson here? And one of the student raised their hand and said, no matter how busy your life gets, you can always fit something else into it. He's like, no, that's the wrong lesson. The lesson is you always have to put the big things in first. Because if you start with the small things, there'll never be room for the big things. So what are the big things in your life? And what Paul says is this one thing that I do. I press on. You know, this is such a beautiful strategy for how to deal with failure and how to deal with your past, forgetting the past. I've thought about this many, many times in recent years when I have failed again and again. And I've thought about Paul's words that do you know how long it takes for the past to become the past? It's already the past. Now is only it's over. It's past. Now past. What past is Paul talking about? How far back? Well, if it was 3 years ago, I guess it's in the... No, that fast. It's in the past. Did you just blow it? It's in the past. Forget it. Don't dwell on it. I'll tell you, for years, the enemy kept me locked in such discouragement because when I would blow it, I would focus on my failure and come up with these strategies for how I was going to not do that anymore. But I know that's not what Paul says here. Paul does not say, I forget the past and I focus on my strategy to not repeat my mistakes. He just says, I just forget it. I keep my eyes on Jesus. It's taken me a lot of years to figure out that the solution to my sin problem is always Jesus. I thought the solution to my sin problem of my past, you know, the wickedness I had at 4 years old when I asked Jesus to come to my heart, that wickedness, you know, from birth till four, when I asked Jesus into my heart, well, all of that was now forgiven. Jesus cured that. But once I asked Jesus into my heart, I found out I kept sinning. What about that sin? Well, what do you do when you blow it? Don't tell me you don't blow it. That's the wrong answer. What do you do when you blow it? Do you just beat yourself up? I did for decades. That's the wrong strategy. Because when I beat myself up, it's assuming something about myself and my responsibility. It's up to me to cure my sin problem. No, it's not. No, it's not. Jesus is the cure to your sin problem. Remember what Paul said. I'm not perfect. I haven't achieved it yet. But here's what I do. I forget the past. Just forget it. I don't put my focus on that. Instead, I put my focus on the upward call that Jesus is inviting me into. And I'm going to someday be given that thing, that perfection that I don't experience in my life right now. I will one day get it, but it's not because I will ever have achieved it. I've never once sat down and read this Bible, and I just finished another year of reading it cover to cover. I've never read in here anywhere about the person, Peter, James, John. I haven't read about the person who finally got their act together without Christ. There isn't anything in there about that. Everything I read in there is about a bunch of people who screwed up really bad and their only hope was Jesus. That's my story. So, astonishingly, as you face 2023, you can forget everything about 2022. And you can forget everything that happened at midnight till 9:42 a.m. today. It's in the past. Keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. No matter what happens. Let's pray together. Jesus, there's no greater thing than knowing you personally. There just isn't. And this church exists to help people to know you personally. And it's my prayer that they would experience you in such a way that they would know the freedom that comes with knowing you and what you have done for us and what you continue to do for us. Thank you, because your word tells us that from the foundations of the earth, you are the Lamb that was slain, which means from your perspective, and you live outside of time, you were already crucified before you even created Adam. You had already been crucified. You knew. Plan A all along was Jesus Christ coming to die for our sins. So, Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray, God, that that mystery and then that truth would be revealed to everyone here. And they would find the freedom as they step into 2023 and every day of their life, that they can forget the past and look forward to what you have for them. Thank you that our perfection is not something we achieve. It's something we receive. May we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. To get connected, listen to more sermons, or learn more about Grace Fellowship, please visit gracespearfish.com.